This is The Coaching Inn, a podcast from 3D Coaching. So welcome to The Coaching Inn. My name's Claire Pedrick, and today I'm in the company of Paul Masoke, a coach who currently is in Uganda and is going to talk us through what's going on in the Africa Executive Coaching Council. So Paul, welcome. It's really good to have you here.
Thank you, Claire. I'm quite happy to be here as well.
Great. So tell us about your coaching story.
Well, my coaching story started in 2014 when I joined FSD Africa. It's a DFID funded organization based in Nairobi. And my role was director of change management and building services markets. And one of those services markets I was mandated to help to catalyze was around executive coaching on the African continent. And the whole idea was that executive coaching is a capacity building tool that would help the financial sector in Africa actually be able to respond more meaningfully to the environment it's operating in. So basically, I started out, I'd never been involved with coaching up to that point. So basically, we had to do a lot of new research and find out about coaching and what it does and what's happening on the continent. So we started out by doing a research in Zambia and Kenya about the state of coaching at the time. And we actually found that the only organizations which were using coaching in those two countries were multinational organizations.
Interesting.
And they were importing coaches from either the UK or from South Africa to provide coaching for their executives. There was hardly any locally trained coaches within the continent at that time. And with that was confirmed when we did research in Nigeria as well in 2015 and found that actually the situation was the same. So what we said is first we need to do is introduce C-suite executives within the executive, within the financial sector in Africa to some form of coaching. And when we started out, we said, let's look for coaches from abroad, bring them in so that the CEOs can actually get to test what coaching is all about. But somebody, one of our partners, Strathmore Business School, pushed back and said, but no, they might be accredited, certified African coaches that we could use for this program. So we ran around the continent and lo and behold, we found nine.
Excellent.
African coaches who had trained elsewhere abroad, but who are basically on the continent. So we're able to actually bring those on board, and we funded them to coach the CEOs, 10 CEOs within the financial sector in Kenya, Uganda, and in Tanzania. The program went so well that the CEOs requested for the program again the following year. And we said, well, okay, that's fine, but we'll only fund 50% of the cost. And I said, no, that's fine. We also want more of our people to come onto the program. Interestingly, around that time, we found that there are two training schools had actually started in Kenya by 2015. Yes. So one is Career Connections, and the other one is CDI Africa. And they had started training some coaches. So at the time we did the second iteration, there were more coaches based on the continent that we could use for this program. And we did this again in the third year, and we expanded it beyond East Africa to a lot more countries across the continent and a lot more institutions. So that was my introduction to coaching. But somewhere along the way, someone convinced me, at least someone in Career Connections, told me, but Paul, we've got to know you. We see us, your kind of temperament and how you approach things, and we think you can be a pretty good coach. So they sort of like cajoled me into actually doing the diploma. Reluctantly, I went and did the diploma. And actually, I did very well. I actually came out with a double merit. So I was top of the class.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And so I started coaching from that point of view. Recently, I finished my certification in systemic team coaching as well. So yeah, my coaching capabilities are growing, and I'm coaching more and more now that I'm not, I'm employing myself now. And part of that is around coaching. So I'm doing a lot more of coaching now as well. Yeah, so that's a bit my journey with coaching. I guess the other thing that we did was set up the Africa Executive Coaching Council. So when FSD Africa signaled to us that they would not be funding this market building initiatives much further, we requested them to give us a bit of time to set up the Africa Executive Coaching Council as a body that will carry on the work that FSD Africa was doing in the past, but sort of outside of FSD Africa, and try to enter as a sustainable body that sort of can continue to grow the market for executive coaching on the continent. So I'm a founder member of the AECC and also a board member on the AECC.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
so there's a lot there that you're saying about capacity building and coaching being such a great way of doing that.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think what coaching does, and to me, there are two aspects to it. So there's the executive coaching, which is one-on-one with the individual and the CEO. And what I've found is that they actually struggle with a lot of questions and challenges, but they don't have anyone to bounce off these ideas and to help them sort of reflect about it and think about it differently and come up with the right solutions. So I find that CEOs are pretty lonely and they struggle with lots of challenges, that coaching creates that space for them to be able to think through it and come up with the answers. Particularly, I like the Gestalt model when I'm coaching executives, because I think it helps them to understand more embedded issues that might be affecting how they're actually reacting to things, okay? And help them to realize, you know, get a fuller picture of what the situation is and how they can find a solution to it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, I think for me, systemic team coaching is going to be a critical aspect of how we help to build capacity, especially with businesses on the continent in Africa. And it's about companies on the continent are not running well-structured businesses, okay? And I've found that systemic team coaching, if it's blended with strategic tools, can help these companies basically transform how they operate and how they run businesses, setting them up for scaling and attract funding that can enable them to grow further. So it's definitely a critical capacity building tool that we need to leverage for the continent. Yeah.
And actually the gestalt that you're talking about is also systemic, isn't it? Because you're describing really enabling people to see themselves in the bigger connection that they're in.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. And actually, yes, it comes in the whole team coaching as well. If you're sitting with a team of executives, it's a whole components. That's what you're trying to bring together for them to see the fuller picture as a team. So it's definitely Gestalt plays a big role there.
It's interesting to hear you talk, Paul, because you're describing a super quick journey. Because in Europe and in the States, the journey to working systemically has been a longer one.
Mm-hmm.
So although there have been coaches working systemically, of course, all the way through, actually the talking about it and being clear that serving the system as well as the individual is so important has taken longer. And it feels like you're going, so 5 years ago we looked and there were kind of 9 coaches across the continent, and now we're doing, now systems is the way forward. And that's exciting, the fact that you haven't gone, you know, you've taken the learning and kind of gone straight through with it rather than having an organic, slower process.
Yeah, and I guess Africa, we tend to leapfrog, you know, most of the technologies and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I guess we have no choice. There's certain things we just sort of jump over into the new ones. But I also think systemic team coaching, well, I have seen the value in it, but I don't think all my colleagues have seen that yet. So it's still really a pretty new aspect around the continent.
Yeah.
But I see it coming in at full force. I think it will pick up very quickly.
Yeah, so you're at the front of the curve.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we've been for some time.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what are the things that you're noticing are very specific to coaching in Africa? You've said you've been in the UK, you've got family here. What's significant about coaching in Africa?
So I guess what I'm observing is sort of 3 areas. One is around coaching models that are evolving. People are trying to develop their own types of coaching models. The other one is around platforms coming up, still early stages, but I'm coming across platforms trying to bring people together, connecting coaches and clients. And then you have some big corporates who are actually taking on coaching to build a coaching culture within the organization. I'll just give you some examples. So if you look at coaching models, I think the one that's really standing out on the continent is what they're calling Ubuntu coaching. It's really South African origin. And what they're trying to say is this, look, you know, Africa, we are more about the society. We are more over society, less individualism. So what they say is that, what's the statement? That I am because we are. That's right. The African kind of philosophy. And the Ubuntu coaching is trying to tap into that African disposition. Mm. That really it's all about the society. It's not just about me as an individual. Okay. We're seeing others developing coaching models in Rwanda. I think Cora Coaching in Rwanda is trying to develop a model. I'm not so sure how far it has gone, but they're working on something, I think, with ICF. There's a gentleman called Cleopas Kiketa in Zimbabwe who's actually been working on a model, a coaching model that is sort of like an origin in Zimbabwe and its environment. And also there's something in Nigeria as well that they're working on. I'm also sure how far these models have gone, but definitely there's been attempts at people developing that are more relevant to the environment that we're operating in.
I'm curious about what you said about Ubuntu coaching, because that sounded really systemic.
Yeah, look, I don't know it that well. I haven't engaged with it that strongly. Yeah. I've had a chat with Dumi, who's sort of like pushing it and publicizing it. And it's very much about using coaching to help society.
Fabulous.
Beyond the individual. Whereas executive coaching, the way it's structured today, it's about the individual. Yes. But there's a systemic aspect to it that they're trying to push.
Yeah. And there's stuff, isn't there, more, there's a thing called asset-based community development that also is very like coaching.
Okay.
That's used in through lots of not-for-profits across the world, actually.
Okay. No, I haven't come across that one yet.
So I'm really interested in coaching in partnership. Mm-hmm. And I'm really interested in power and how in coaching works best when there's I think coaching works best when there's enough power equal between the coach and their colleague. And I'm wondering how, in your experience, power plays its way out in coaching.
Yeah, you know, my experience is that the power should actually reside with the coachee. I think they should have the confidence to be able to tell the coach that, look, we've gone too far, or I don't like where we are going. Yeah. The coach has to respect that.
I agree.
Of course, for you to reach some kind of progress in the coaching, there has to be mutual respect.
Yeah.
So there's some level of equality there. But I think the agenda is driven by the client.
Yeah.
And hence the client has to have a bit more power than the coach, in my opinion. And I've had cases like that where someone has told me, look, I didn't really like that. And I said, look, I'm really sorry. You know, let's go back and let's start afresh. And it's really changed the whole relationship of the coaching. So I think it's important that they know they're in control.
Absolutely, because it's all in service of them, isn't it, and their context.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I hate the word coachee and client, because I think that they sound like they give power to the coach, and I think we're people and we work with people, but that's my kind of thing. So
yeah, I guess I don't like coachee. I guess, you know, client probably is better.
Yeah. I've ended up with thinker, which isn't perfect, but it'll do for now.
I guess we have to keep working on it.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I think when you start looking and really noticing what's going on, you can start recognizing that some words just don't serve at all.
That's true.
What we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so power's an interesting one.
Yeah, I think it is the client who has the power.
Yeah.
Serving them. And I guess, you know, you're dealing with a very pertinent, maybe emotional issue for them, something really important for them. It has to be protected. They have to feel comfortable that actually it's respected by everyone.
Do you think there's a difference coaching executives
Yeah.
versus coaching people who are lower down the organization
Yeah, definitely.
in your context?
In my context, yes, I would say so. So I've coached mostly executives,
Yeah.
but yes, I've coached some middle level managers who are being prepared for the next level. And I think the power issue comes up there. The executive is more confident, is
Yeah.
more sure of what it is that they actually want initially, or they show that sort of like that aura that, do I know what I'm doing and all that stuff. But the whole thing, once you sort of like dig in with the coaching, you actually realize that they have vulnerabilities, but it's how good the coach is to actually enable those ones to come out in a safe place so that we can address them and find solutions for them. So I think a big difference is how you start with the executives. They are coming with a lot of power and know-how and whatever, and it's a process to get them to that point where they open up and say, look, yes, I'm a big shot, but there are other things that I want to address. Whereas you find middle-level managers or people below that, they tend to be open. They tend to be open about what they're looking for. They are more vulnerable and they're happy to actually expose it, because I guess there's some level of mentorship that comes into that relationship as well. They're looking at you as somebody who can help them to the next level. So it's easier, I think, to address the issues that they're dealing with from the very beginning and work towards building it. That I would say has been sort of my experience with the two
Yeah.
different groups. Yeah.
I've been developing some coaches with an NGO, well, developing coaching skills in leaders across the world. And I had a guy on a call recently from Nigeria, and he said that he can use a coaching style in his organization, but when there is a fixed power differential culturally. He's Nigerian, but he said that some of the people that he works with, because there's such a fixed power differential in the culture between people like him and people like them, that he finds a coaching style really difficult because there isn't a belief, trust, something that actually this is about them finding the solution, that there's a view that actually he's telling them what to do. And he isn't.
I guess it's how you approach it. You have to be adaptable to the situation.
Yeah.
Clouds. Because I think I find that all human beings, eventually they come into this relationship of coaching because there's something that they want to address. They feel it, they're not very sure about it. So they're coming with it, but they protect it and it's natural. So you find some level of resistance at certain levels. So you have to stay with the moment and just try to sort of like break it down gradually, understand where this resistance is coming from, and how you can sort of like break it down and then create that space where you're all open with each other. Now you can address the real issue that actually brought this person on board. So I think it's you just have to assess and see, where do I start from? How do I approach this person? And like they're saying, what they say is staying in the moment, just
Yeah.
stay with it and wait for something to open up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're talking a lot about external coaching, aren't you?
Yes. I am. I'm doing external coaching. I'm
Yeah.
not doing internal coaching.
Yeah.
Actually, I avoid internal coaching because there's certain dynamics within an organization that people won't really open up to you if you're part of the organization. So
Yeah.
I stay away from it, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was talking about internal coaching.
I was talking about internal coaching, and that makes it difficult. And then yes, definitely they'll be guarded. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. So any other insights that you'd like to share with our listeners about particular insights that you've had about coaching in Africa? And then I'd love to find out more about the convention.
Yeah. So the other thing, actually, maybe I'd like to raise is, so I've set up a consulting firm, and it's supporting businesses to be able to access catalytic funding that will help their businesses to grow. And a big aspect of that, what I've realized, is that systemic coaching can play a big role. Okay. And I've been testing these models on the continent. And what I've found is that when you sit down with a team of executives or people within a company responsible for strategy, and you take them through a process of thinking about what their stakeholders are all about what the environment should look like, about how they are competing within their organization, it sort of like opens up their eyes and they're saying, actually, we should have been doing this a long time ago. So I think for an African context, I think systemic team coaching is going to be quite critical in terms of helping these businesses to run more vibrant businesses that are attractive to funders and investors. So I think that's something to watch from an Africa perspective point of view. The other one I'm seeing is coaching platforms. Interesting, it's still early days, but people are setting up technologies and reaching out to coaches across the continent. So what I find is that more and more people are being trained as coaches in certain geographies, but the jobs aren't that many, okay? And just how to find the clients. So we're seeing these digital platforms coming up to basically link them up with various jobs. It will be interesting to see how it evolves, but I think it's potentially very powerful going forward. And then the other one is around their big organizations, Standard Bank, Safaricom, who have actually taken on coaching internally and trying to develop certain themes within the organization. So, for example, Safaricom is using coaching to drive inclusivity and diversity within the organization, but also in the market that they're operating in. And they're leveraging internal coaching significantly to do that. So those are the developments that I'm seeing on the continent at the moment.
So some really interesting learning and some good things to be looking out for. So
Definitely.
tell us about the convention, Paul.
Okay, so the convention is really our flagship first initiative by the Africa Executive Coaching Council. Like I said, FSD Africa gave us some funding, £120,000, to set ourselves up into a more sustainable organization. So we've been working towards looking for board members from across the continent, putting in place structures, planning for this convention. Okay. And quarter one next year in March and April, we'll be holding the inaugural Africa Executive Coaching Convention. Okay. It will be run over 3 separate days. So 2 weeks in between. It's a virtual convention. And there are 3 themes that we are focusing on, one for each day. On day one, which is on the 3rd of March, 2021, we'll be looking at a dialogue on executive coaching in Africa, successes, challenges, learnings, and how they're transforming organizations. We'll have the CEO of the Africa Leadership Group, Mr. Fred Swinecker, will be talking to us about challenges faced in leading businesses in Africa today. Okay. We'll have a presentation from the Henley Business School. They've done research periodically on Africa and how it's evolving, and they'll be presenting that research on coaching in Africa.
Brilliant.
And then we'll be looking at also transformational leadership and innovation within an African context as well. So we're still engaging with the potential speaker, so I cannot say who it is at the moment. And then Dr. Carol Pemberton will also take us through resilient leadership, especially now that we've gone through this whole COVID situation and all that stuff, So how do we lead in difficult times? So that would be the first day of the session. We're quite excited about all these powerful speakers who have committed and excited really about this inaugural convention. It's the first one that's being held for the continent.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because COVID is, as much as COVID is causing difficulties, it's being online natural is now natural for us, or we have to do it, and therefore you can have a completely different hit and it's going to be more accessible to people.
I think so. The way I see it, there are opportunities that have come out of this forced lockdown. So, and that's one of them, the fact that people are accepting virtual interactions more readily. So, yeah, there's a big debate for us whether we should postpone it until the whole COVID thing has gone away. And then we said, you know what? No, let's just go virtual and see how it goes. And it's starting to look good.
And you might get people who wouldn't come face to face.
I think so.
Great. So what's day two?
So day two, we're basically looking at strategies for resolving organization challenges through executive coaching. So the keynote speaker, we've got Mr. Sim Shabalala, who is the CEO of Standard Bank Group. So he's going to be telling us about their experience as a Pan-African organization, how to capture the value of executive coaching. So they've instituted coaching across the group. I think they're in something like 20 countries across the continent. So Sim will be talking to us about their experience around executive coaching and how it has transformed the organization. We'll also have a coach's perspective, basically effective coaching strategies in the new normal. Again, the whole COVID thing,
yeah.
So how we're adapting, going to be coaching. And that's to be presented by Mr. Modupe Taylor Pierce from Sierra Leone, who is the CEO of Breakfast Club Africa.
Right. So,
yeah. And then we'll have panels. We'll have five panels, breakout panels, where we'll be looking at the role of coaching in creating an agile workshop. Another panel will be looking at promotion of workplace inclusivity through coaching. Another panel will be looking at multiple generations in the workplace. How do we make it work? It's a challenge that we're all facing now as we are growing older and our kids are coming into the workforce. How do we manage? Another panel will be looking at coaching leaders in the times of disruption, which again we're going through. And then one close to my heart is really another panel will be advancing entrepreneurs and their businesses through coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have five breakout panels for that day. We think they'll be quite exciting. Some really interesting speakers who have confirmed to speak at these ones as well. So that will be day two. Day two will be held on the 24th of March, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And day three?
Day three will be held on the 14th of April, mm-hmm. 2021. And this is really about creating a coaching philosophy for Africa. So it's really sort of like the climax of the whole convention.
Yeah.
And discussing, you know, coaching in an African context to enhance the power of teams to accelerate their success. Yeah, so I'm hoping that, you know, more will come out about these models that are emerging out of Africa and how, you know, they're relevant to the society we're operating in. So we'll have Professor Philip Rozinski, CEO of Rozinski and Company, who will be addressing the convention on leveraging cultural diversity through coaching to promote sustainable high-performance teams.
Mm.
And then, you know, Africa is quite multicultural. It would be interesting
yes.
how to sort of like tap into all those various cultures
yeah.
and bring them into our coaching approach. We'll also have a presentation on ethical coaching. It's Insights and Impacts by Sebastian Fox and Nobantu Mpotulo, an executive coach from South Africa. So I guess the whole thing around ethics. One of the things we found when we did our research as FSD Africa was that there were many people who were coaching, but they were not certified or accredited.
Mm.
There was a bit of a challenge. How do we actually manage that? Because there's potential for conflict. So it'd be interesting how we actually manage that going forward.
Yeah.
It's changing slightly, but it's a bit slow, I think. Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's how do you know what's happening in the room?
Mm.
Is such an interesting question, and is what's happening in the room actually serving the individual and the organization?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then if we don't follow the standards of ethical standards, then will people trust the whole coaching process?
Yeah.
What way to communicate that to them, that, you know, this we're following certain ethics and we'll stand by them as coaches,
mm.
or there are repercussions if we don't follow. Yeah. So interesting. And then lastly, what we'll have is basically a panel of various African coaches. So basically talking about how to integrate Africa coaching specificity, realizing full potential from teams and getting perspectives from various people from various parts of the continent. So we'll have Dr. Dumi Magdalela from South Africa, who's an author and executive coach and a well-known personality within the ICF community.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have John Mutizwa from Zimbabwe. We'll have Miriel Karela from Rwanda. We'll have Professor David Clutterbuck from the UK as well.
Who's not a famous African coach.
No, but we just thought we need some perspective around
okay,
that.
Okay, great.
And then Honorable Ajibola Ponle, who's a commissioner from Lagos, will also be part of that. Also an executive coach. So interesting discussion about different perspectives from different parts of the continent
yeah.
and how that comes together.
Fantastic. So if people want to come, Paul, how do they find out about it?
So you can reach out on our website, www.aeccouncil, that is aeccouncil.com.
Brilliant. Thank you. And if people want to talk more to you about what you're doing, how do they contact you, Paul?
Yeah, so you can reach me at paul.musoke@ankoloconsulting, that is ankolo consulting.com,
Brilliant.
or you can reach me on LinkedIn as Paul Musoke.
Fabulous.
Yes.
And I'll put those links in the podcast text. So if anyone wants to go back, go to Podbean and have a look, and those hyperlinks will be there.
That would be great.
So I'm going to be popping into your convention, and I'm really looking forward to that. And it's really excellent to have had this conversation with you this morning, Paul. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much, Claire, and look forward to engaging with you further and knowing more about you as well. So let's keep in touch
Yeah,
and looking forward to
definitely.
seeing you at the convention.
Thank you very much. So this was Claire Pedrick from 3D Coaching talking to Paul Musoke. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to The Coaching Inn. Find out more about us at www.3dcoaching.com/b-developed.